Anyway, gentlemen, a good morning. After that wonderful introduction, as you know, this table, around the year, we've decided that we're going to take reality on the one hand, the code of Jewish law on the other, and see how they can walk together. And that's what I call halakha, from the word lahalechet, namely, how do you walk when the code says one thing, reality dictates differently, and how do you make them jive? It's very easy to say, whatever the reality is, it is. So case scenario, the Jews eat treif, so it's okay, because the Jews decide, the reality decides, forget about the Torah. Or it's easier to say, I can care less about your reality. It says you get up in the morning, you wash your hands, that's it. So you're on a plane, you can't get to the washroom because they're serving the meal. You're tough nugs. You wait until they actually go ahead and move the things out of the way, and you do it. We've tried to see how they jive, and that's basically responsive literature. But here and there's an exception to the rule, where in the Code of Jewish Law, you find that the Code of Jewish Law himself comes out and says, well, here's where reality and what I wrote don't go together. And this is the famous, famous story about the wedding on Shabbos. Can you get married on Shabbos?
No.
You can't get married on Shabbos. Why?
We can have a girl with a ketubah.
Why can't you get married on Shabbos?
It's a kinyan.
You're making a kinyan. The rabbi said that you're not allowed to make a kinyan on Shabbos. Is that an issur d'oraisa or the rabbanan? I think I just gave the answer, but no one was awake enough. The rabbi said you can't do a kinyan on Shabbos. It's an issur d'rabbanan. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically said you can buy and sell on Shabbos. And the rabbi said no. It started out in Yeshayahu already. He was warning against it. And as time went on, they said no. Perhaps the fear was Shema Yichtov. Just like today when you buy things, you have to sign a receipt of a credit card or whatever
except
it is. Maybe you may write something.
Except if you buy land in Eretz Yisrael and you sign it, so you're allowed to read.
If you buy land in Eretz Yisrael, there's a sugya in Gittin that talks about a goy doing it on your behalf. And we'll get to that later in a moment to see.
If you go through the entire wedding ceremony, not with the ketubah, which could be done later or earlier,
right?
Is the wedding ceremony itself also on Shabbat?
What wedding ceremony?
The brachot and the chuppah and having a party.
Yeah, absolutely. The Code of Jewish Law says in Siman Shin Lamet Tet, talking about all these gzeirot derabanan that we have on Shabbos. As a matter of fact, this basically makes our Shabbos, because when you see a store that says, I'm Shomer Shabbos, usually it means not that he's not cooking on Shabbos, that's an issur d'oraisa. Usually it means he's closed on Shabbos, there's no business going on. So let's say a bookstore says, Shomer Shabbos. The whole Shomer Shabbos of that bookstore is derabanan. And if you think about your own Shmirat Shabbos today, most of us don't plow the field during the week and also not on Shabbos. Most of us are not going ahead and doing many of the malachos all week as well as on Shabbos. So we're Shomer Shabbos, we're Shomer Sunday, we're Shomer Monday. We basically do nothing. Mm-hmm. But there's one exception to the rule, that's cooking. Okay. But the majority of our Shabbos is derabanan if you think about it.
Let me ask you a question. Can you mix a simcha on Yom Tov? You shouldn't get married.
One second. We're getting mixed up here. Apples and oranges. And okay. We'll explain why. So Shabbos, this is gzera derabana not to get married. The Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Shin Lamet Tet 339 Seif Bet Ein Danim, you don't have a din Torah on Shabbos. Velo Mikachin, you don't do kedushin on Shabbos.
Because with the kedushin.
Because kedushin is like mekach u'memkar, according to some, it's like buying and selling. And Shema Yichtov, you may write something down. We write a ketubah. You don't get married on Shabbos. That's the code of Jewish law. There's no marriages on Shabbos. So the fact that a former president of the United States daughter married a Jew on Shabbos is none of our business because we're not allowed to do it. Now,
he was wearing a tallis. That
I was wearing a tallis. That makes it okay. I don't know.
How do you get a caterer?
You thought it was kosher? Okay. Interesting the way you think. Like getting married on Shabbos is all right. They're driving there. But what did they eat? Okay. Let's go further. Here is the situation. Comes along the Ramah and says the following. V'yesh mitirim l'kadesh. There are those that allow you to do a wedding on Shabbos. Hecha de'ein lo isha uvanim. If you don't have children, because it's a mitzvah of puravu, the mitzvah of Puravu is the Oraisa. The mitzvah not to get married on Shabbos is an Issur de Rabbanan. An Isser, the Oraisa, would override an Isser, the Rabbanon. They've shared the Huadina Knisa la Chuppa Shari, and also you can have a Chuppa on Shabbos. So you can give the ring, maybe have a Chuppa. Va'afal Gav de Kaima lo Kaima lan Hachi, and even though there is a point of view like this, there's a Rabbeinu Tam, there's a Smag, and even though this is not the Halacha, listen to this. Mikol Makom, Somchin al Ze B'Sha'at Adchak, Gam Ki Gadol Kvod HaBriyot. Sometimes in a situation that's very pressing, you can somech on these two shitas, Rabbeinu Tam that allows you to get married on Shabbos, give a ring, and the smag that says that you could even do a chuppah. Why? Kemo shirigilin shelefamim shelo ayu yucholim lahashvot im hanedunya biyom shishi ad alayla, dosin achuppah vahakidushin belel Shabbat. Hoil vekvarichinu lasu'uda velanasu'in, vahavi biyush lakala velachasan, im lo yichdon saz. Gentlemen, what is he talking about? This is one of the only scenarios I know of where something from responsive literature makes its way into the code of Jewish law. So, how did I know that? Because this whole story seems too much. What does the Ramah usually do in Shulchan Aruch? The Shulchan Aruch says, you wake up from Rosh Chodesh Elul, you do slichos. What does the Ramah say? Our minog is not from Rosh Chodesh. We have a different minog with regard to slichos. The Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch says you can eat kitniot. What does the Ramah say? Our minog is not. This is a whole chad gadja over here, no? Sometimes when, A, it's Erev Shabbos, B, there was a problem with the nedunya, with the alimony.
No.
Not alimony, excuse me. The nedunya, the money that she brings in, the dowry, excuse me, the dowry that she brings into the to the marriage, and it was a Friday, and everything was ready before Shabbos, and he goes on and on and on with the whole chad gadja. This is one of the only scenarios I know of that the code of Jewish law, that the responsum literature made it into the code of Jewish law. So in order to know the story, you have to go back to the responsum literature. The Ramah wrote a shoot, wrote a responsum. And here's the story. It starts out with the words, Veshma Charai Kol Rash Kadol. Are you familiar with those words? I can't believe it. Okay, let's start from the beginning. Does everyone know what davening is? Okay. Did you ever say the words in davening, Vatise'ini ruach v'ashma charai kol rash gadol? Okay. The Ramah starts to respond some with the following words. V'ashma charai kol rash gadol ma'asa avdi Moshe. The Ramah was a rabbi where? Krakow. And he heard a big rash. Today we would say there was blogs and Facebook posts and messages and even a newspaper article against this Ramah, calling him a reformed Jew for what he did. Vayishmach alai korash gadol ma'asav di Moshe. The Ramah's real name wasn't Ramah, it was Moshe, Rab Moshe Isilish. What did my servant Moshe do? Here's the story. In Europe, they didn't have a lot of money, especially not in Krakow, so they used to do weddings on Friday. What would they do? They would do the wedding about an hour before Shabbos, so that Friday night will double over for two things. It would be a Shabbos dinner. It would also be the Seuda for the wedding. You could add in, you said Shever Brachas as well. That was the way they saved money. Very nice idea. So everyone got ready for Shabbos about an hour before they did a chuppah, proper chuppah, like we do it today. And then, Friday night, they had a meal that was also a Shabbos meal and also a Shever Brachas meal, all wrapped in one. Well, here was the story. Everything was ready. The meal was ready. The chuppah was ready. And at the very last moment, there was a big fight between Chassan's family and Kala's family about the nedunya, the
dowry.
And they're fighting, and they're fighting, and they go into Shabbos, and the fight continues. At about 12 midnight, they get to a peace agreement. The Ramah says, if I linger on till Motzei Shabbos, what's going to happen? So everyone will go to sleep. They'll make Kiddush, they'll eat the meal, they'll go to sleep. They have a whole Shabbos. What happens on Shabbos? Jews sit around and they're bored. When they're bored, they sometimes fight. So if they fought on Friday, Kal Vachomer, they're going to fight on Shabbos about the dowry again. And who knows if this wedding's going to get off the ground. And we're talking about a girl that never was married and a man that never did Pur Ravu. And therefore, what did the Ramah do? As soon as they reached the peace agreement, 12 midnight, he married them. Now you're going to ask how he married them. Very simply, he said, we have the Rabbeinu Tam to be Somechan. And we have the smog to be somichan, so giving the ring, in a case of no isha, a person that never was married before, and who wrote the ketubah? The ketubah was probably written already. Who know? And all they had to do was look at the Kabbalah's kinyan. You know, the chasm picks up something and says, I obligate myself to everything in the ketubah. They probably got non-Jews to sign on their behalf, whatever it might be, or maybe they signed the ketubah prior, and then everything else happened.
They don't need it. It says
you absolutely need a ketubah.
They said that there's some communities they have
implied.
It's implied. The halacha is you need a ketubah. You cannot live with your wife without having a ketubah. It's implied.
You
can't live with your wife without a ketubah, and therefore it would be not a chuppah haru'uya. Liyuchud a chuppah haru'uya libiya, because you can't live with her. So they worked out the issues with Amira La'akum.
Yeah, but they couldn't do it anyway Friday night.
Why not?
You should.
Why not?
Because
that's only with an almana. No. With a first time marriage, you can do yichud on Shabbos. With an almana, you're not allowed to do it. That's a whole sugya in and of itself. Mm-hmm. This is a first time marriage. Mm-hmm. So on a Friday night, here we are. The Rama did a marriage. Did he violate Shabbos on a d'oraisa level? Of course not. He used every heter in the book, Amira La'akum, asking non-Jews, the smog, the Rabbeinu Tam, and he married the couple. Now, what do you think happened afterwards? What usually happens when rabbis do outlandish things?
There's a
fight. That's not a fight, it's Lashon Hara. What did this guy do? He's a reform rabbi, look what he's saying, and this, why? He married a couple on Shabbos if he's out of his mind. So the Rama writes a whole tshuva, Vayishma Chavai Kol Rash Gadol Ma'asav Di Moshe. And he explains the situation. Now, this is the typical example that I know of everything we've been doing on this around this table throughout the year. On the one hand, you have the Shulchan Aruch that says, when your teeth are white and your kippahs on your head, then this is what you do. You meet a nice Jewish girl. You have to be a nice Jewish boy. You can get married to each other. It's not a coin to a giyor or to a grusha. You make the marriage on a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Thursday, or even on a Friday long before Shabbos. And there's a marriage with a proper giving of the ring and the ketubah and the whole gamut, and it's gorgeous. But what happens when your teeth are not white and your kippah's not on your head and a big fight erupts and all of a sudden you have a choice? Should I maintain this issa derabanan of not getting married on Shabbos, but the price will be that the wedding will be called off, God forbid, and it's not easy to find another girl? You have to remember, hopefully they dated a little bit. I don't know what dates were in those days, but let's assume they got to know each other. Finally, they decided to get married. It's not going to be so easy to turn back the clock and start it all again. Do I use heters on the books? Or to be more precise, though, I take out of the vault a Rabbeinu Tam and a smog and use it in this situation. Reality versus the code. Comes along the Rama, and he says in his code of Jewish law, Kemoshe regilin shelefamim. Like sometimes happens. Now again, I don't know of any other scenario that it happened. It's all known from this famous, famous Rama story. And indeed, he put it into the code of Jewish law. So this is one of the very rare instances where you see how the code of Jewish law, codes, laws, didn't jive with reality, and how the Rama balanced it out. Yes?
Many times you'll have legal situations, society versus the individual. And it's interesting, in this case, the individual case is trumping. You know,
there's a reason
why you're rushing.
Actually, that's what I was about to say.
There's a reason you're speeding on the highway and you tell the cop, but the law is the law. He may say,
okay,
I'm sorry for your case, but I got to give you the ticket.
I was about to say something here. In this case, I don't believe it's only the human tragedy. I know that many people have interpreted this famous story as that. It's not only the Jewish tragedy of the Jews. It's Judaism at stake. What do I mean? There's a value to keep Shabbos, the Oraisas, the Rabbanans, absolutely. There are other values in Judaism. One, Peru Revu. Two, what else is at stake here?
Exactly.
What other value is at stake here?
Rabbinical authority.
Shalom Bayit and you.
Shalom Bayit, etc. There's many Jewish values at stake here. To just give you an example, comes along the Mishnah Berurah and says, Hecha de'ein lo isha banim, v'hu adin b'yesh lo banim, and the same thing if the person already has male children, Ve'en lo isha, gamken mutar le'diazo. The mitzvah ka'ovit. Because he's doing a mitzvah. Why? Kedamrilan b'yamomot. The Gemara says in Yevamos, Mikra baboke zira et zarecha vela erev al tanach yadecha. We have a mitzvah d'oraisa of Pur Revu, and we have a mitzvah d'rabanan of baboke zira et zarecha, in the morning plant your seed, vela erev al tanach yadecha. Simple pshat in those words from Kohelet means, in the morning plant your seeds, and at night don't be a lazy bum. The rabbis added on an additional level of interpretation and said, after you've mekayim pru revu with a boy and a girl, that's a mitzvah to continue to have children. So says the Mishnah Berurah, not only is there a value of pru revu at stake, but even if you already have a boy and a girl, but you didn't mekayim yet the mitzvah de rabbanon of baboker zra et zarecha vela erev al tanach yadecha, there's a Jewish value at stake. More than that, how did the Ramah go ahead and say it's not such a problem? He probably went and said, when the rabbi said you're not allowed to buy and sell, we're talking about buying and selling, buying a pen, buying a bottle of water. We're not talking about that here. Because according to Rov Rubam of the Rishonim, and this is very important to explain to every Chasam Kala, there's no such thing as the man buys the wife under the chuppah. That whole idea is bupkis. Yes, there is one daya of the Rosh that says that the kinyan kiddushin is like when you buy a donkey, it's like when you buy other things. But other than the Rosh, the Ramban and many, many others explain, what is the kinyan kiddushin? You have to remember, the Gemara in kiddushin calls it a kinyan. That's like Avram Avinu bought Marata Machpelah. We learn kinyan kiddushin. So what's kinyan kiddushin? What's called kinyan iser. To be more precise, not a reshut, she's changing her status. Before she was what's called a pnuya, namely she's available for people to marry, and now she's called an eshet ish, married to a man. What's the difference?
She's not available.
Not only is she not available, if God forbid someone goes ahead and has sexual relations with her when she's a pnuya, bad, bad. But if someone has sexual relations with a married woman,
worse.
Very bad. That's one of the arayos in the Torah. Nafkamina, bikuach nefesh, someone puts a gun to your head. Eshetish versus pnuya. So you can go ahead and say maybe there's no real mekach umemkar here, buying and selling. But the rabbi still said no kinyan on shama shema yichtov. So we'll override that. Why? We won't write. We'll have someone else write for us. But quite frankly, if the ketubah's ready, it was all signed up, it's also can be possible. For example, the biggest question when you do a wedding is, when, what date do you write in the ketubah? If the wedding starts at 6 o'clock in the evening, 6:30, let's say at this time of the year, and by the time you get to the chuppah, it's after Tzeita Kochavim. So do you write the date of today, or do you write the date of tomorrow? A big question. So 99.9% of the cases, and every time I do a wedding, I tell this to the couples, let's not get into a bind. Let's go with the code of Jewish law. Our teeth are white. Let's plan it out. Do you want to get married before Shkia or after Tzeita Kochavim? Let's stay away from the question. But sometimes you get to a wedding, and even though your teeth are white, your kippah's on your head, things happen. There was a traffic jam. The lady, namely the kala, didn't have her makeup on right. She had to redo it. The veil blew off, and they had to look for it. The chassan had a kippah on, but he has no hair to hold down the kippah. And with 25 clips on his head, it was only there as wallpaper. It didn't help. The kippah flew away. Whatever it might be, the wedding is pushed off. Which date do you write in the ketubah? So, Rav Moshe Feinstein Paskins, you write, you post-date it. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach didn't agree. Many say you do it by the time that the chassan does a kinyan. So let's assume in this case, the chassan did a kinyan. He picked up something and said, I obligate myself to all the things in the ketubah in return for your pen. And the Masada Kedushin gave them a pen. And then they signed the ketubah, Erev Shabbos. And then the big fight broke out. So again, we took care of the halachic issues per se, but you still can't get married on Shabbos. So what did the Ramah take out of the vault? Our Rabbeinu Tam and Asmag, in order to ensure Jewish values that were at stake here, as much as the Jewish value of Shabbos, Midirabbanan. Shabbos, Midirabbanan, getting married, which is, could be the Oraisa and Pro Revor, the Rabbanan, La'erev al-Tanach Yadecha, and perhaps even the mitzvah of getting married, according to the Rambam, that says it's an actual mitzvah to get married, regardless of Pro Revor. So This is a famous case where, once again, you see where reality and codes have to walk together in some way or another. The difference is it actually made it into the code of Jewish law. Yeah.
Is the human tragedy still driving the energy? I mean, when the cop pulls you over and you're speeding, and you explain why, and he feels bad, he's, you know, technically I didn't have my gun painted in your direction, and maybe you kind of, you know, you can try to find the legal way to fix it, but what's really driving it is the human tragedy. Or is it really the law?
So I personally am not one that says that the Jewish, that human tragedy is more important than Jewish law. Jewish law is more important than human tragedy. I believe that in many ways our job is to connect Judaism to the Jews. If I have to sum up what every single rabbi, educator here, youth director has ever done, it's to connect Judaism to the Jews. There can be no Judaism in the world without Jews, and there can be no Jews without Judaism.
Yes.
In other words, I don't think it's only the human tragedy. On a human level, there is a tragedy, which is an element that you have to take into consideration. Kvod HaBriot is something that's important. There's also halachic tragedies at stake. Puru Ravu, La'erev al Tanach Yadecha, Mitzvahs Kiddushin. All these things are at stake here. So again, when you read the story, I'm sure many have said, oh, human tragedy versus Jewish law. You see, human tragedy overrides it. I'm saying, no, it wasn't just human tragedy. There were Jewish values at stake here.
Right.
Yes.
They just had a Rosh Yeshiva, whatever, that the Rishon LeZion said that you should, rabbis should be lenient rather than strict in their, so that they don't push people away.
Yes, I think rabbis, I think that's a very good quote that was said. But again, rabbis to be lenient versus rabbis to be stringent is something that I personally believe is not the way we should educate the next generation. We have to say rabbis have to look at a situation and paskin halacha. Now, sometimes you say he's machmir, you could say he's mekel, but again, it's not like he has a book. And the book starts out with chumras on the right side, and on the left side is kulas. No pun intended, that the left is kulas, the right is chumras. And then he's, oh, how you doing? Which side of the book do you want? It's more like this. It depends who's asking.
Usually the standard answer is no.
I'll give you a simple example. Quite frankly, one of the examples that came up a lot lately is the whole idea of music on Sfira. If you look through the laws of Sfira, you'll never find in the Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to listen to music. The closest you get is a Magen Avraham, that says that you're not allowed to have weddings because it turns into dancing. You're not allowed to dance during Sfira. So men, not many, a few have inferred, Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Avadya Yosef are the two famous ones. Very few, though. Oh, you may dance, so therefore you can listen to music that may lead to dancing. So if that's the whole makor, the makor is a little quasi. So do you say that lends it over to someone who, for sake of argument, exercises every morning, and in order to run his 13 kilometers, he needs to listen to something. And if you say, well, Sfira, music, and again, we're not talking about a din derabanan either, it's a minhag, and you say that, he won't run, and ultimately he'll become a little unhealthy because of it, or he'll his exercise will be tarnished. You could say, all right, for 49 days, don't run. For 33 days, don't run. Or you can come and say, well, quite frankly, maybe the Magen Avraham was talking about live music, dancing, etc. We're not talking about a guy who's jogging, humping and punting, barely catching his breath, and he's listening to something on his earphones. And again, you can go on and on with examples, but I think that's very important to understand. When you say no music at Sfira, you can make that statement. But when you paskin halacha for a case, it's very different. Therefore, the Natziv Mivalojin said that when a rabbi is paskining halacha for a real case, he has siyata dishmaya, Kodesh Baruch Hu is like in the room with him. When you're just teaching a shir, whatever it might be, theoretical, maybe yes, maybe not. You're definitely learning Torah, it's definitely part of your avodas Hashem, but the siyata dishmaya, the divine providence sitting in the room, may not be there. You're not dealing with a real case as of yet. But this is a real case. This is a chassid and a kala, the Ramah, Krakow. This really happened. And if you ever went to Krakow, you can picture the scene right there. How this can happen, how a big fight broke out, and ultimately the Ramah had to do what he did, where he had to jive Jewish law with reality. And I think he did it successfully. And this has been a famous case quoted and requoted, but again, I want to make clear, it wasn't just a human tragedy, which we have to take to heart. It was also a halachic tragedy. So, A wedding on Shabbos is something we don't do. But you just heard, there is a situation where it's done. There is a situation which teaches us that when we teach Jewish law, we have to be very, very careful. Teach Jewish law, this is the halacha, etc. When they get older and they know the halacha, I think it's important to say, while we have a halacha, we also have a reality, and we have to take both into consideration.